right, everybody, welcome to another installment of Innovation Crush. It's me, Chris Denson, again. Hey, guys, in case you're tuning in for the first time ever, shame on you. But if you are a familiar listener, then you'll know that this show covers all things marketing, innovation, ideas, creativity. And today, the ball does not stop. I'm here with the mayor of Maker City. Hello, Ava.
Oh, hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Ava Bromberg. Give us the 60-second version of who Ava Bromberg is. It's a fun name to say. Ava Bromberg.
Ava Bromberg. I can tell you what I make, right? I build creative habitats. So I would say part urban planner, entrepreneur, conceptual artist, but mostly function in building creative work environments and places that people want to spend time together.
It's a lot of parts.
Yeah. Equal parts. Maybe not. Yeah. Sometimes less than equal parts.
85%.
Those two things. Right.
Inside joke. Yeah. Well, first off, I want to know about this all gender bathroom.
Oh, we have here at Maker City LA in the building, which is the 11th floor of the Reef, we have ladies' rooms and men's rooms, and we have an all-gender bathroom by request.
That's a good one. Yeah.
All are welcome here.
All are welcome in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So I guess give us a little bit of insight on what is a maker city? Like what, because it sounds great, you know, right, on paper and like, but as far as like, is it a city? Is it like, what makes it a city and what is a maker city?
Oh, great. Well, I think what makes a city in general, right, is a place that's diverse, that has different types of people running into each other and living their lives and doing their work. A maker city in this case, which is a 60,000 square foot environment in a building, is a place that is organized to attract and support diverse types of creators in different types of fields, fashion, technology, fine art, media, and everything in between. And it's a place that has places for them to concentrate and focus on their own stuff, places to come together and enjoy each other, to mix, to have events. And that's what this maker city is.
So when you make a maker city, because the difference between a real city or a normal city is that you built it from scratch, essentially. And in most like geographic locations like we're familiar with, it's just sort of a natural flocking of individuals to a certain thing, where this is highly curated, but also sought after, if I'm correct. But how do you guys go about like making a cohesive unit out of the 60,000 square feet?
And, right.
Yeah.
What was the process for sure, right? And so I walked you around the building before we started. We're actually here today in the Maker City LA podcasting studio.
This is a comfortable podcast studio.
Oh,
I got the lights down.
Glad.
This is great.
This project started with a big idea. The building had in it it's an 860,000 square foot building that has continuously housed the gifts and home furnishing wholesale industry for 58 years. And we wanted to build upon the strength of that, but recognize that, there's this empty floor here. There's room to really think about how to bring that project in conversation with other things that are going on in Los Angeles, right? So we set an idea for Maker City that could say, all right, let's take this building from being just a place of commerce to a complete creative habitat where you could design, concept, prototype, as well as sell, exhibit, make media about new products and ideas. And that, as a project, began with a big idea, right? And with to say, okay, well, let's sort of lay out what the component parts are of that, and then let's start building the community around it, right?
Yeah.
Let's try to identify areas that we know people work in and are interested in, and these are people that don't want to work from home. They want to be around other people. Maybe they work for themselves. Maybe they work for a bigger company, but everybody wants to, like, not be – you don't want to work in your pajamas all the time. Right.
Well, I beg to differ. I'm actually wearing my pajamas now. didn't know if you noticed. I wear my pajamas everywhere. Gym, my daughter's school. It's embarrassing.
Great. That's great.
People.
How old is she now?
I don't know.
Kindergarten, right? It's okay. So, you know, the starting with a big idea, right, and saying, all right, well, let's make this a whole kind of complete ecosystem, right? And then let's identify natural partners, let's identify organizations that we like to work with that we want to help support. Let's do things that kind of let people know that we're here and what we've done, and then let's make sure we refine what we have so that it's, you know, it's providing people with what they need, right?
Right.
So this is, I mean, it was a very straightforward approach in that it's space and tools, right? If you don't want to stay home and work in your pajamas and you want to come out and you don't want to just be in one type of environment, you know, maybe you were on your computer all day long, but maybe you also want to work on a sewing machine. Maybe you want to make podcasts.
Right.
Maybe you want to shoot videos about what you create.
That sounds like a long day.
That's
a long
day. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, get out your pajamas, get on the computer, make a suit out of thread and scratch.
Right. And so it was sort of pull those pieces together, do it in one place and see what happens. Right. It's sort of an experiment. And I think that a creative project requires sort of experimentation with one's environment. And, you know, the other piece of that puzzle is definitely like maker tools, right?
Right.
Like the prototyping side, the like machines. And that was something that we couldn't, you know, we wouldn't want to sort of go ahead and say, all right, we're going to like put a shop together and do this. But, you know, so part of what I looked for was organizations and groups that have that want to create that can bring that to
right.
to this environment and really take the project to its full expression as a place of, you know, many types of making, creating, and conversating.
Why does this exist, right? Because I mean, these companies could exist anywhere, right. seemingly, you know, on their own. Why, like, put forth 60,000 square feet worth of space and dedicate the time and energy mm-hmm. to building, you know, an ecosystem like mm-hmm. this?
I mean, there's sort of two answers to that. One is sort of why, I'm interested in experimenting with building models that can sustain experimentation, right? So taking this idea of how people use space and kind of what the basic units are of what they need and pulling that together in such a way that you can carve out room for the unknown, right? And so that's sort of an initial inspiration, you know, and trying to sort of model something that can be start to influence the way we build our neighborhoods, the way we build our cities, right? So this is a function in a way of this, you know, sort of given this particular
right.
Envelope, this building, right? And it's sort of go figure it out, like how do we support the things that are already here, create something that looks at the future of the city and makes it a place that's like interesting and attractive for other, you know, companies or individuals to come and locate themselves. So there's a sort of business answer, which is, you know, about the kind of activation and transformation of an asset that was underutilized, right?
Right.
A building, like a, you know, what would be a real estate project, right?
Yep.
A space project, but also to do that in a way that could bring something that doesn't exist to the table, right? There are tech spaces, there are media labs, there are fashion incubators, but what happens when you put them all together and they bump into each other on their way to the all gender bathroom?
It's like the real world,
right? Like
what happens when you put all mm-hmm. these all these individuals right. in a room? And okay, so that's the business
story.
Answer of
mm-hmm.
why yeah. you know this exists, and along the business side, and maybe this is more civic minded mm-hmm. on the business side. How closely aligned are you guys with the city itself? Because it sounds mm-hmm. like you have this goal to like, hey, how can we redefine the future of mm-hmm. Los Angeles and how it operates? But
I mean, you know, I like to do public scaled projects,
right?
And I'm trained both. You know, I was a sculptor first, I was a welder first, but I'm trained as an urban planner,
right.
And so I think
you're sculpting an entire city.
I came to the city, you know, really because I think it's a really exciting place that's unfinished, you know, and that has, you know, this incredible mix of diverse populations and ethnic groups. Like, you know, it's the manufacturing, center of the country. It has this big cultural megaphone, you know, in Hollywood.
Which is interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize the gravitas. I've never used that word before in my life, but it felt right.
Yeah.
So forgive me if it was the wrong word. But, you know, I think there's obviously LA has a certain stigma outside of LA, right? If, you know, I grew up in Detroit, you grew up in New Jersey, or the Dirty Jers, Redman.
That's right.
But, you know, there's this thinking that LA is Hollywood, and you don't realize like the level of manufacturing and museums and just other industries that exist here.
It's so wonderfully like unknowable in a lot of ways. And it's also so like potent, right?
Yeah.
And there are so many ingredients here, right? And I think it's something that a lot of people don't understand or know what the city is because they have just one idea of it. But to be here and to kind of really like thread yourself through it, you know, even a lot of people who live here have a kind of limited experience. Yeah, the mics.
There we go. The mics are hot.
Wow. Yeah, I got a lot louder. You know, there's so much. So many different kind of raw ingredients, right? And I think that it doesn't necessarily do a good job of presenting that tremendous potential,
right,
to the outside world. And I think that it's people say like it's a difficult city to visit, but a great city to live in. And like, whereas New York's like a great city to visit, but a difficult city to live in, maybe? I don't know.
I say the opposite for LA. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like when I came here, because I actually came and stayed with a friend for a week, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll make the move. And then when I got here, I was like, this place is gigantic.
Yeah. Like, and I love that about it. Like, it takes, I mean, I've been here for 10 years. How long have you been here?
Longer than you.
Okay. Like
12, okay. 13 years.
You know, and I just think it's a really, it's for me, it's a very like stimulating place. It's unfinished,
right?
And I love that unfinished quality.
Right. So your second answer to why this thing exists is?
Well, my second is that, you know, there's a story in there, but.
We got time. I like it. This is a storytelling show.
This is a storytelling show. You know, there's a long and a short version. In the medium-sized version, you know, I started out making stuff myself. And I became really interested in the way, you know, like creativity becomes public. Like, how do people get access to art? Like, how does that even happen?
Right.
And that was something that kind of got me interested in space, right? I became interested in space and cities at the same time. And I had this wonderful opportunity to travel and do research. And I was all over the world for a year about 12 years ago, 2002, 2003, looking at and visiting different types of creative communities in cities around the world. And this sort of thread of energy and activity, like everywhere I went and people would sort of say, oh, you're interested in that? Go see my friend in Barcelona. Go see my friend in Madrid. Go see my friend in, you know, in Brussels, of people just wanting to create and take over some space for them to do their work, right? And to have, to explore, right? New ideas, to have meetings, to have discussions, to have workshops, right? And so I got to learn from, you know, 50 years of other people's experiences, kind of building those types of environments, and then landed in Chicago and had the opportunity with some collaborators to build a storefront kind of experimental cultural center. It was called Mess Hall. And, you know, that was a really fabulous experience. And it was like, wow, like there is room for this type of environment, this type of room in any neighborhood could support it.
Right.
And, you know, kids that are, you know, growing up should be able to land in a place and be like, whoa, what is that? What is that? You know, and have their minds blown and develop and experience their own, you know, what they want to create and find something they're passionate about and then be able to build, you know, this new world that we haven't even thought about yet. So what, like, long story short, what that meant was like, oh, well, if you're going to want to do projects like this, you have to understand how space gets made and you have to kind of be in a position to decide what the future of a building's going to be,
right?
Because, and it's another way to say that is to like control the real estate, right? But in practice, it also means, you know, being able to have a model where you can build and sustain that activity, like by choice.
Right? Will the Reef outgrow this building?
I think the Reef is this building. Right. And it's the LA Reef, right? Is this building. But I think that, you know, the reef, when functioning fully, like a city, when functioning kind of properly, is an opportunity machine, right? So it should be able to burst at the seams, and it should be able to inspire things around it, and it should spin things off into other directions. What we right. wanted to create here was a center of gravity for people that are in Los Angeles, that do all kinds of different things, or that are coming to Los Angeles or exploring the place, for them to just sort of start and figure out what it is that they, you know, can or want to create here.
So surprisingly, this the reef is not short for reefer.
Right.
Right. We discovered that earlier.
Right. The transformational metaphor is in fact a coral reef.
Right.
A place that's teeming with life.
But you also talked about big fish and little fish in that mm-hmm. in that metaphor. You know, although you have a lot of new companies, are there like larger organizations that come and participate? Is that mm-hmm. an area that you guys are looking to grow, or is that not even
absolutely.
A concern?
Yeah. No. I think that's like a functioning ecosystem. Right. It has a little bit of everything. You know, General Assembly is here on the Maker City floor. You know, Tech Shop, which you guys know what General Assembly is.
I do know, yes. Right? So we know General Assembly very well.
So they,
and if you guys don't know, look it up. It's pretty awesome if you want to learn coding or design.
They're training, you know, back end and front end web developers. Yep. It's education, sort of like a disruptor in the higher education space. And they, you know, do a great job placing people in jobs who graduate from their programs. You know, they're here on the floor, and actually we found that like educational institutions are a really nice fit. So that choose to kind of be here in that way. The Claremont Graduate University just made the reef their downtown campus, and so they're actually on the 7th floor. And we have tech shops, you know, coming here to the building, and they build these 20,000 square foot kind of maker and prototyping facilities with the wood shop, metal shop, CNC, laser cutters, 3D printers.
How much shop could a wood shop shop?
Shop if a wood, wood shop.
Could shop
wood.
Shop.
Chop.
Wood.
So, you know, there's a couple of examples there. And then we've got companies that have been around for like 20 years that might not be like kind of big, you know, major institutional brands, but like somebody like Ryman Arts, which is an LA-based nonprofit that has been around for 20 years and, you know, runs programs, immersive programs with high school age youth that show talent in the fine arts and does like foundation stuff with them, drawing and painting and the
right.
like.
So would you ever entertain the idea of like a Pepsi, you know, uh-huh. to come in I didn't even know what they would do, but like
right.
either take up residency here, which right. I think locally they've had like a developer space downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would you ever entertain like a, you know, a Pepsi or a McDonald's or whatever to, and it sounds like I'm hungry, but I'm not, I've eaten.
You're all right. Well, look, I mean, you know, again, this sort of the best expression, right, like I said, of this building is this kind of pulsing, you know, entity that has people doing all different types of things in it. Now, if a large company wants to come in and take, you know, and put their offices here, you know, sure. We also want we want people to choose to be here, right? Because they want to be part of an ecosystem.
Right.
Right. And, you know, that you ask a very important question about how you balance, you know, the kind of like bottom up spirit of creators, right, with the resources that other companies have and can funnel into interesting programs, right? And so I think there's, you know, with, it's not like you would say, oh no, you can't come in here. You know, we're open. Our philosophy.
I mean, you have an all gender bathroom, so right. you should have an all brands right. facility.
We you know, our main selection point is that we don't want people who are jerks. That's like our main.
Is that thing. Why I haven't been invited?
No, you're here. So far, you seem like a nice guy.
Oh, good. Yeah, so far.
You know, and no, the idea that you have people who like want to be here, right? Because this is a project, like any space project, and like a city itself, right, is about people. Like it's only going to be as good as the people who are here. So, what brand they affiliate with, you know, is sort right. of secondary to whether or not they're here to kind of contribute, create value, do their work, and kind of engage and just be part of the.
Right. So there's definitely like a certain expectation as far as how anybody would come into this space and like be a part of the community.
I think people, especially at Maker City, people are sort of self-selecting in, right?
Right.
And this is, you know, one floor of a very big building that is always, I think, going to be a collection point for that interest, right, of people to, you know, build and do programs together, right? So, yeah.
What are the rules? Because I can easily see, you know, people like knocking on each other's doors unexpectedly, mm-hmm. or, you know, there mm-hmm. could be some social abnormalities that could happen. Right. But, like, you know, is there like a rule book of do's and don'ts?
I mean, there's a
tip sheet.
There's a tip sheet. I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's a team that runs Maker City, right? That's here, that does an amazing job, like making sure everybody's taken care of and also organizing events, doing mixers, finding partners that want to kind of do interesting things here. So they certainly set the culture and like, and help kind of retain that culture. There's definitely like a rules, you know, like I said, like don't be a jerk, you know, that's an important rule here.
Yes.
And you know, I think people, it's so amazing because people just, they know how to behave, you know, everybody's here to work, right? And people are respectful to each other. And you know that like we've created social spaces so that you can socialize in,
right?
There's a cafe, people run into each other in the hallway on the way to the bathroom. Like we try to model like, you know, saying hello and people are like friendly to each other.
Right.
And when you're curious, like you want to reach out when you have time to reach out. So we just try to create moments where people can run into each other. But like, I don't know that it's not really hard and fast rules, or like it's a socialization, right? It's
right.
sort of people self-selecting to be here because it makes sense for them, because they like that it's affordable, they like that they've got a bunch of tools here, and they like the people that are here. You know, we were voted recently by Los Angeles Magazine the best co-working space in Los Angeles, which
oh, wow.
I think is like a tremendous testament to the way that the culture has evolved over time, which was such a, you know, key part. I mean, this is a project that started with an empty floor, right? And grows into an environment based on the people who come here and how they treat each other and what they do and when they collaborate and that type of thing. So
that's awesome. So we're in the midst of Innovation Week,
mm-hmm.
with an S in parentheses after
right.
week, because it's several weeks.
Shout out to Chris Rico.
Shout out to Chris. That's such a cool name.
Yeah.
Chris Rico.
I mean, great name to say.
Your name is fun to say. His
mm-hmm.
name is just cool.
Yeah.
Chris Rico. It sounds like his shirt is buttoned down like four
yeah.
buttons. Or unbuttoned. Four buttons. Chris Rico. But no, like, I don't know. What's your take on Innovation Week and Innovate LA mm-hmm. as far as, like, its importance? You know, I know there's some vision that it's becomes like a, you know, a gigantic festival, and it already is pretty big. I mean, it's 100 plus events over the course of what, 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what's your take on it as far as it being an important piece of Los Angeles culture?
Well, it's a huge testament to Chris's approach to this. Like when we talked about it some months ago, that it's reflects this diversity, right? Of types of activities, like that he wanted it to be more about more than tech, right?
Right.
And about, you know, I think it's always good in two ways, like to create these opportunities for groups working on totally different things to kind of come together and be like, oh yeah, you haven't been over there? Well, go to this place in Culver City and go check it out and for this event. And so it creates a sort of communication platform
right.
for letting Los Angeles showcase what it does so well. I think it also, I think it brings all those folks together. I mean, you know, I also think it's just like a start, you know, it's this, all it does is, like we were saying earlier, you know, this is a big city with so much going on. And
yeah.
I think an artifact, like that website for the innovate.la website,
yep.
You know, when you look at the different types of things that are going on, that's an amazing snapshot of what's going on in Los Angeles right now. You know, and to your question about sort of the city or like, you know, how you connect, you know, an idea about LA reaching its potential with all the different individuals and groups and businesses that are trying to do their work here. I mean, this is a place people come to invent things. You know,
yeah.
I always say it's like it's the extreme edge of like one of the most extreme societies that's ever existed. And people come here because they, you know, they feel it's a place that supports wacky, weird ideas.
Yeah, just walk down Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. So, so, you know, and I think that starts to thankfully spill in all these different directions. So I think it's a great artifact.
Yeah.
And a great opportunity for people to start meeting each other and connecting and seeing what they can create together.
And also, I mean, it's a lofty goal, right? Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I think this in most major metropolitan areas, you know, you've got neighborhoods and communities all around, and to try to unify them sometimes mm-hmm. is difficult, right? So, you know, in the lines, maybe whether it's your purview from Maker City or from Innovate LA, how do you, like, what's the best way to cross-communicate and cross-pollinate and make it feel like a cohesive, gigantic metropolitan area versus like, oh, this is a cool thing in Pasadena, right, and this is cool over here too.
Right. I mean, you know, I guess it's a great question. It's a tough question. You know, I think but I believe in like bringing people physically together, you know, creating places for them to assemble and like kind of mix around. So when I look at the reef, I look at the whole broader basin, you know, of the Los Angeles region. I'm like, all right, well, we're equidistant between like Van Nuys and Pasadena and Culver City, and like there's Irvine down there. And so you can think about like the broader region, or you could think about your neighborhood. You could think about how these things connect. So, I mean, I guess like, you know, I think it's important to find and create opportunities for people to kind of actually physically kind of be together.
Right.
But how you do, I mean, it's such a big question. I mean, what do you think?
Like, as you were speaking, I was thinking about like creating a draw. If you look at Maker City as sort of a beacon, mm-hmm. right, there's a gigantic chair outside. Mm-hmm. Like, was it like a 5-story wooden chair?
Like, it's like a 40-foot. Wooden chair.
So, but like it's a spectacle in and of itself, and mm-hmm. like, and you know, when I see the level of programming that you guys have for the public to come in mm-hmm. and be together physically and mm-hmm. and do those sorts of things, I think you create whatever best in class moments that you can right. that people will want to make the trek for through rush hour traffic or
right.
along the 405.
Well, and we're on the Expo line and we're on the Blue line. Like, we're super well connected when you kind of zoom out and look at like how it is to get here. And right. we're right off of the 10 and the 110 freeways. So we're kind of in the central spot. And all of those were things that we considered.
You know, you have no excuse if you care.
That's right. You can get here, people. And we try to make it easy and try to give you a reason to do it. And we also have this big, I showed you our big kind of trade show division. So there's LA Mart, Maker City LA, and then Magic Box, which is our whole kind of trade show component that make up the reef. And that's the like large scale like event part.
Right.
So we do like enormous.
In the bar mitzvah party room.
Right, exactly. And there's all of these different categories, right? You have technology, artisanal foods, fine art, photography, menswear, you know, vintage clothing, like, and they're at the Cat Con. I mean, there's an incredible collection of like.
Is Cat Con literally a cat conference?
Like cat related products. I mean, like, and so everybody is welcome to come up with an idea for a show, and we can do it. I don't think there were cats. There was an adoption center, but not really a lot of cats, just cat stuff. But just the idea that you have these, you know, we live in a time with all these amazing kind of communities of interest,
yeah.
right, that are not geographically connected to each other, you know, but want to come together and they find each other.
I think when you know, because we have a lot of business people that listen to our show mm-hmm. and like we've had people on from Adidas and from L'Oreal and mm-hmm. just like, you know, state corporations who do a great job at innovating, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, there is a certain level of thinking about, you know, focus, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like this could feel overwhelming to someone to go like, oh, well, what do I do there? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and maybe that's not the right person to come in and be a part of it, but it's also a value to those people as well. So, you know, how do you go about communicating the value proposition of this sort of ADD building where there's so much going on mm-hmm. and they should be a part of it?
Well, I think that there's, you know, there's different audiences for each specific activity, right? So Maker City, you know, Maker City LA has its community of about 6,000, you know, people who get a newsletter from us that we kind of reach out to. And so I think there's a sort of targeted component, right, of like, oh, I want to touch this type of person. I want to partner with, we try to partner with, you know, organizations and individuals and kind of bring them in. But, you know, I think it's part of the concept for the project, right, was that you'd have all of these multiplicitous ways of engaging.
Good word. Multiplicitous. That's.
Is it a word though?
I don't know, but it's, you should. You see, now you went one step too far. You know, you should have just stopped at the yes.
Like yeah, it's a
yes,
word. Now it's a word.
Sniglets.
Right. Oh, I love sniglets.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, we'll go back to that later. But you know, I think that you want to have a sense where like, yeah, everybody's welcome here, but there's you find that there's communities of interest, and you know this as a marketer, a developer of product, you know,
fantastic things
that, you know, you want to be focused about what it is you're trying to accomplish or who you're trying to talk to. But we also, I think what's fun about this project is that there's room for all of that to happen here.
Right.
So it's more like the message is, hey, everybody, like, if you need space to do your thing, there's space here, you know. There, right. If you need to do an offsite like retreat, and you just want to kind of be in this environment and get all your people thinking about different things or wandering around, you can do that. If you want to kind of have somebody, you know, do a training, I mean, I think it's, yeah. Tell me if I'm not answering your question.
No, this is great.
I think that's an approach to just keeping it weird, right? I don't know about you, but like, I want to live in a city. I love, one of the things I love about LA, and like, I want to live in a city, and I want to work in a place where unexpected things happen.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's a responsibility of those who kind of invent or create products and that they want everybody to buy to also, I mean, there's such an opportunity here. And, with the sort of budding, I think about the youth, right. In the youth market, or you call them the youth market or call them the future. Right.
Or just punks.
Or just, you know.
Like, you don't have to agree with me.
That there's like there's always an opportunity to take what would otherwise be like a thing of like selling to someone into a invitation for them to make what they think.
Yeah. Well, it's also like I keep thinking about the idea of collaboration versus competition, right? Like, nowhere in this conversation so far have you talked about like any sort of opposing, you know, forces. And I think that's an interesting just thought around the best in class innovation is about collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of like, oh, you know, both things rise to the top as opposed to like one forcing the other to sink.
Right. Yeah. And that's a new paradigm, excuse the word.
That's okay. We already did multiplicitous.
Yeah, we did. That of business, right? Or of, you know, and I think it's just still like early days in a lot of ways where you try to create a culture that supports mentorship, generosity, sharing. Like, you have to really, that's an effort to do that. And this idea, and I think you see it happening that, you know, I guess it starts to cross over between, you know, what are we trying to do here? Like, what's our goal as a society? Like, if we want to just like sell stuff to people, you know, that's certainly, we're real good at figuring out how to do that. But if we want to kind of expand their idea of what they think is possible and engage them in creating the future, then we might like develop a totally different set of tools for them in their neighborhood, in the way we, you know, our education system is still kind of organized around, you know, factory and agriculture.
Right.
And we have this like tremendous innovation economy. And you hear people say that like in, I don't forget how many years it is, there's like, oh God, I wish I knew the statistic, but like there's going to be like millions of jobs that don't even exist yet.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
That one. Do you know it?
I don't.
Yeah,
but
that one. Yeah. Your listeners.
You just threw me under the bus.
Right.
No, you don't know it, do you, Chris? No, I don't.
I don't know. I forgot. But, you know, this opportunity to really like unlock the potential of, you know, a whole like generation and generations to come and to invite them to participate.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I work in physical space, right? So, but that reflects on things that are happening in the world of business, right? And things that are happening in, the internet, right? And in like access of
the internet,
right? Things that, you know, we have new infrastructures, right? For people. I mean, this is a show for other people who to talk about how that's just truly transformed the worlds of like creation and business. But, you know, I just think that there's this opportunity to build, capacity, you know, in young people or people that are just like, shit, what do I, excuse me,
that's
shoot,
true.
What do
I've,
I, you know,
I've said worse.
What do I do now? Like my, you know, my company I used to work for is like no longer exists, right? My job is obsolete. How do I enter the workforce? How do I become a contributor, you know, in an economy that is still like creating new ideas about what it's going to be. And it's not just apps, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like going to be in the phone. It's going to be all kinds of things that we haven't thought of around actual physical products, right? Around, you know, technological innovations around, you know, and this is to back to your point about Innovation Week. It's like, right. What a cool survey of, you know,
what's out there.
And,
yeah.
And it went from Innovation Week to Innovation Weeks because there's so much going on in LA.
Right.
Right. And so that's a testament to this moment in the city right now.
Will you get to every event?
No, not even close.
So is all this stuff LA hippy dippy beach talk? Or does it mm-hmm. apply to other areas? Like when we talked on the phone, you were in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. Like, does this model work mm-hmm. in other, you know, cities
right.
that are not LA?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think so. You know, I want to make sure that what I say to you comes across as very concrete and real.
It can be theoretical.
No,
we think on that. We brainstorm on this.
I mean, I think it's both, right? And it should be theoretical, but it's like theory, like from practice, right? From doing it.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes, and I think that, you know, every city, the way I do a project is, you know, there's two different ways, right? You can be given a building and say, hey, like, figure out how to make this thing interesting and relevant in this environment. And that involves right. talking to people, surveying the landscape, understanding what's going around, like dynamics that are quite complex, right, about the area that it finds itself.
How much legwork is that? Is that like a month? Is that you go down there for a week? Or you like, what's the research phase of this?
In this project, the research phase was like 4 months.
Okay.
You know, and then it's like you do strategy and for another couple months. And then, you know, then you're doing implementation plans, and then you're executing.
You're like, let's wing it.
You know, no, you're like, this is what we're going to do. This is the budget.
Yeah.
This is the program. Let's go. Right. So that's probably like a year, but it can be done fast or slow, you know?
Sure.
And in different cities, different projects, different environments, like, hey, do we need to, who are we partnering with? Like, is this the city on this building? You know, is this a private entity? Who's in the area? So anyway, that's like process question, but, So there's a situation where you're given a building, right? And then there's like, hey, we have this idea. Let's go find the best place to do it, right? That's another way to approach it. Is like, okay, we got the model. We know it works. We want to be here in this city. And, you know, pick another city. Lansing. No. Detroit. You know.
I went to Michigan State. You can say Lansing. Number two, NCAA. Yep.
What's the mascot?
Spartans.
Okay.
I've actually had Coach Harlan Barnett as a guest on the show.
Hey.
When they won the 100th Rose Bowl.
Ooh.
See? That's what we do.
Fabulous.
But so, all right. So let's take a city like Lansing.
Lansing, right. But I should pick one that I've been to, right? Or even just, you know, it's just this idea. Like, I think we've done it in Los Angeles in two places. We have a project in Atwater Village called Atwater Crossing. We've got the Reef. Like, Atwater Crossing's a neighborhood-scaled project. It's like 100,000 square feet. It's single-story, like, industrial properties along a train track. It's in a residential neighborhood. You know, this project is kind of here in at the edge of downtown in Los Angeles. So anyway, yes, you can do it everywhere. You have to decide which way you're going in, right? And mm-hmm. there's definitely like a method. But I think from a theoretical perspective, and I believe that many neighborhoods can support these rooms, right? Whether they're like tiny environments that where you just have like networked programming, people that are coming into town and can blow people's minds, right? And talk about what they do.
Right.
Or whether you have a large, you know, 600 square foot room, or you have a large scale project where people are working every day. Either way, there just has to be a functional kind of economy and business model that supports it, right? And in my experience, there, because every city has people ready to work and wanting to be together, you can do these projects.
Yeah.
Just the question of scale, right? The question of, is it, how big is it? And there's a lot of room. And I would say that I'm very early in, I say like 5 years into a 30-year project, or maybe 15 years into a 40-year project, depending, to develop that model in a way that can actually start to innovate with like how we think about, real estate, right? There's like very basic ideas, but there's room to really like invent ways to create projects that people participate in and anchor and then, you know, own a piece of.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you're at a great like nexus. You know, speaking of that ownership part of it, is that part of the business model? Like, does Maker participate in any development of the companies that come?
Yeah. Not at this time. Like, right. this is really, again, like space and tools was our sure. initial focus. And what we try to do is that we attract certainly other companies that do that, right? There's people here that are running incubators and they want to be here because they want access to the tools and the space and the talent right. and the random and specific things that are here. You know, but there's definitely, so, I mean, other studios, right, that build a podcasting studio like the one we're in or the Media Lab that's here,
right.
Will let people use it for free, but they kind of make money off of them in other ways or they own a piece of their business or their content. And this was a way of saying, hey, everybody, like, come do your own thing, right? So that's not part of this model, but I think there's other ways.
You talk about this, like, you know, being part of the way along in a 30, 40 year project. Mm-hmm. Let's go in the reverse direction. What did little Ava want to be when she was just a tiny tot in New Jersey?
Tiny tot. Well, I remember being like five and being like, okay, I want to be a chef, a teacher, and I want, you know, and an artist. And like, I had all these things I wanted to be, and a doctor, and, you know, eventually over time. I started to tell the story a little bit earlier. You know, my grandfather taught me how to weld when I was like 17.
Oh, wow.
In the Sears parking lot. That's a little known fact.
What were you welding in a Sears parking lot? Like a B&E, if you ask
What's
me.
What's a B&E?
Breaking and entering.
Oh, okay.
Like, was it nighttime?
No, it was daytime. It was a Sunday, so like okay. nobody was there. The welder's on the back of the truck, and I pull up. We were welding junk for the most part. Like, we'd go to the junkyard and find stuff. And I was like making sculptures, and he was just showing me how to use the tools. And I kind of loved it, and I loved the material.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to like look for inspiration. I wandered around the library and I found like this book on it was a Hiboshina survey of Japanese art, and I'd never seen anything like it. I'm like, and I went to the guy who taught me how to draw, like this mentor of mine. I'm like, oh my God, like, what is this? And he said, well, if you want to know why you're so fascinated, you should study the language and go there. You know, so I did that. You know, I just sort of followed my curiosity.
Right.
And so I studied Japanese in college, and I lived in Japan in 2000. And that was the place where I realized the material I was most interested in was space. Like, the way that it shaped how people treated each other, you know, the way the language developed.
Yeah.
And also, like, the city, right, as a kind of fabric or a material. Anyway, follow that down and kind of connects to where I left the story previously, which was looking at, you know, how people – so how do you merge this idea of, like, well, I want to explore my curiosity. How do I make it my extension of my artistic practice to create environments where other people can explore their own? Right.
Yeah.
And so I got into space. Right. And I'm like, all right, well, I think this is going to work. You know, I've seen it work. Now we have to build a business model that's very, you know, grounded in like intelligent, you know, real estate. I mean, it's a very like old idea.
Right.
You know, you own something and then you find a way people pay for pieces of it and et cetera. So using a very traditional model to start to make room for experimentation. So I guess little Ava and big Ava like try to always pursue like, you know,
you entertain your curiosity. And a lot of people don't do that. Like, a lot of people are hesitant because, especially if it's, you know, a little bit too, if they feel like it's a little bit too artistic or too left field or too off the beaten path, and it's insecure, you know, to say, okay, I will go to Japan, right? Yeah, like, it's that is a, you know, that's a personality thing. I mean, everybody can do it, but you were naturally inclined to say, all right, yeah, sure, I'll go.
I was adventurous, you know, I'm still adventurous, but I think it's, you know, not everybody's that way, but I felt like, it was part of a sense. I had a sense of responsibility to pursue my own kind of curiosity and to see where it went,
right.
And then to try to create something that could, you know, hopefully other people find useful. I mean, I think it's more of it's a little bit of a service mentality, even within like being of service in that sense, you know, even within, you know, pursuing. Because I was like, well, I'm not going to sit and draw. Like, I love to draw. You know, I just haven't had a studio practice in like over a decade, but I took that same sort of discipline and, you know, idea about problem solving to making, you know, these kinds of environments. And I have a lot of fun.
Well, I think the poeticism of it all, too, is that you mentioned this earlier, but this idea of inviting people to explore their own curiosities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one thing, I mean, although this can be replicated in, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, of cities around the world, and it already has in some ways. The thing that's unique to LA is the fact that so many creative people have flocked here. They follow their curiosity to be here, mm-hmm. right? And that in and of itself is an interesting mix, right? New Jersey, yeah. Detroit, we're having a conversation right. in the middle of downtown Los Angeles, right?
Right. Well, and it's part of why you want to make a big, like, this is such a great opportunity to, like, to create a hub, right? And mm-hmm. I want folks who are in other cities to know that they can come here and land, right, and explore LA and get their work done, whether they're in, like we said, Lansing or Chattanooga, right, or, you know, just internationally, and they're like, want
Timbuktu.
To see what Timbuktu, what's LA about? Let me go check it out. Yeah, you want to be able to do that, and you can also do it in smaller ways in other places. Like, you can.
So the show is called Innovation Crush. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen a lot. What are some things out in the world that you see that you've been crushing on? Could be here, could be elsewhere. Could be looking right at you at this very moment.
So I just came back from Chattanooga when we spoke on the phone last week, and was there for...
Is Chattanooga Choo Choo a real thing? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it was the train.
Okay.
And it's the train. Now it's a train station, and the train station, I think they're turning into, like, a place to live or something. It's the old train station. But yeah, I saw it. I was like, oh,
hobos.
It's a real thing. Huh?
I think they're called hobos. Hobos live in trains.
Well, no, they're like in the rooms or the station. Well, anyway, I didn't get to go there as part of the trip, but I was part of this little conference, which came together because of the... It's a gig city, a gigabyte city. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, gigabyte kind of up and down internet infrastructure.
Yeah, they have, like, the fastest internet in the country.
Yeah.
No, for sure, but mm-hmm. maybe.
The first, like, one, yeah. 600 square miles. Like, it's also provided by the utility, right? So it's like, it would be, imagine if DWP was able to also provide you internet.
Yes. Right,
instead of, like, the other. So there's a
Innovate
lot of
LA. Hey. Shout out to Chris Rico and Peter Marks.
Hey, everybody.
Get them to do it.
So there's all this. So that was just really interesting also to see how the partnership came together between a public utility, you know, kind of city leadership and like private foundations
right.
that were interested in saying, all right, well, how do we do this? But anyway, at the comp, so that was cool. I was kind of crushing out on that as an idea of, you know, I always want to see people collaborate, work together, get shit done faster, stuff done faster. And but there was these two guys there, a bunch of great people there, but there was these two guys are from Canada, from French Canada, from
no, I'm kidding.
From Montreal and Quebec City, with this thing called IO Theater, that they have. This is sort of immersive public space projects of this sort of public art, but interactive. I'm not going to do justice, but people should look it up. And so they're working on these, like, interesting programs that kind of network people together in physical space with their devices, and kind of in the way that they collect information, but also allow for people to change and control the environment around them, colors, music,
That's
sound.
Awesome.
Like, they have this one project where you can be in a park and hear a symphony, mm-hmm. you know, by walking to different areas, and, like, it triggers
That's
the
awesome.
Physical environment. So there's really cool sort of
I didn't
sensing.
Mean to boo Canada. I take that back.
Yeah, take it back.
I love Canada.
Take it back.
What's the name of the guys?
The project, IO Theater, Vincent and Jonathan. I have to look up their last names.
Your French
but IO
is
Theater,
pretty good.
And IO Theater, and then I think there are other companies called Saga, SAGA. And so anyway, so they were awesome. And then I also met this woman who's one of the founders of the Renaissance Arts Academy here, because it was a table on education. And her name is Sydney. And that's a charter school that's been around for a long time. And I actually really loved her definition of creativity.
Which is?
Which was... is the ability to experiment with your environment to solve problems.
Oh, I like that.
I like that too.
So that was kind of a...
it's like a double crush.
Well, that was kind of also a head start on the next question.
Okay.
Complete this phrase for me. Mm-hmm. Innovation to me is...
Yeah, it is a head start on that next question. Because I would say innovation to me is the product, right, of experimenting with your environment to solve real problems.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
No,
so fun.
Yeah, this was fun. So where can people find you? Where can they find more information about the reef?
The best way to find me is to call me. and all right. Email me. I'm like totally
323
no, not quite, but
555
on the Reef. And I wanna say, like, you know, the Reef is the Reef website, the-reef.com. And through there you can go to Maker City LA, LA Mart, Magic Box. You can also find me through that website. I have an Instagram account I don't use all that much but it's called.
What was the last picture you posted?
Oh boy. It might have been.
Please say it was CatCon.
It was not. No, oh. It was like, I think it was like a boat that had washed up on the shore at Marina Del Rey, or like a kind of like lens on this corner of a room I was taking apart that had like all these years worth of layers of paint. People were like, is that a painting? I'm like, no, it's a room. So one of those two things. So yeah, that's the best way to, so that's at Space Making.
Got it.
But I don't, you know, I should
Well,
do
now
more.
That you've said it. Now
I
you
should
have
better
to keep
start
it up.
Do stuff.
You should at least get a dozen up.
Okay.
A dozen new photos. That's your challenge.
But I love meeting new people. I love hearing about what's going on in other cities. I want to know, you know, interesting stuff that, like, interesting projects that we can connect with, that we can bring people here, we can go visit. And I want to, you know, help create other really awesome centers.
A little
gravity.
Bromberg sauce on everything. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been awesome. Everyone, this has been another installment of Innovation Crush, and we will talk to you next time.